As you mentioned, is sponsored by our dear friends Josh and Rivki Bleichman. Elin Shas Rivki's father, Shmuel Dov Halevi Ben Yispa, is the Shemesh and Havan Halevi. It's a list of Torah that we learn together. So every year, Purim always poses a different challenge depending on when it falls out during the week, whether it's Purim Shulash or Erev Shabbos Purim. There's all these different challenges, but sometimes the biggest challenge is when it just falls out in the middle of the week. And you're like, shoot, I have responsibilities, I have a job, my employer is not going to be so happy, I've taken off enough days already for the Chagim, and I have to balance, should I take off for Purim as well? Is it mandated? Is there any leniencies? So, because Purim's on a random Tuesday, I want to do a little homework for anyone who's wondering about that, into the question about, is there an Isra Malacha? How do we view Purim? Is Purim, on the one hand, Purim is considered, we call it Chag Purim, we talk about it as a Chag, but is it really, we call it like a Mikrei Kodesh? We know it's not a biblical holiday, it's a rabbinic holiday. So how did the rabbis come along and structure the nature of Purim? Okay, so there's an interesting discussion, and it really surrounds an action of a Maaser Rav. We have a statement in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in the source of Ramah, the Gemara Megillah Daf, Hey, I'm an Aleph. I'm a Rabbi Loza, I'm a Rabbi Chanina. Rebbe Nata Natia Bepurim. Rebbe was a local planter. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had needed also a side hobby. Even Rabbi Yehuda Nasi needed some other things to be involved with. He was gardening, and he would plant. He was demonstrating. You're saying it wasn't his hobby. Abe is saying, really, he just kol Torah. And this was one day he was trying to teach us something. That's probably more pshat. But Bederach, I like to think of my rabbis also as human. So maybe he also enjoyed planting, and he wanted to exercise his hobby. I spent a few minutes of Purim. Abe saying that's a shanda. I just said that. But either way, I like to think that rabbis have hobbies too. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasi planted this Netiyah on Purim. He did Malacha. He did an act that usually we would not do Netiyah. We wouldn't be busy in the gardening on a very holy day. And the Gemara has a whole Arichas. And I'm not going to go through the entire Gemara, but the Gemara basically says in Source 2, V'Rebbe Hechinat Netiyah B'Purim. How was Rebbe able to plant on Purim? Hatani Rav Yosef, don't we have a teaching of Rav Yosef based on the pasuk in Esther Tes Yud Tes, Simcha Umishte V'Yantif, the Megillah writes, and we'll see the pasukim, it's in source number 3, pasuk Yud Tes, it says, well first on Yud Ches, it calls Purim Yom Mishte V'Simcha, then in pasuk Yud Tes, it calls it, in bold, Simcha Umishte V'Yantif U'Mishloch Manu Ish L'Rehu. What is Simcha, Mishte, Yantif? Look at the Gemara above in source number 2, So Rabbi Yosef, in the beginning of Source 2, says, Simcha Mishra Yantav, Simcha Malamish Asur Behespid. It's a joyous day. That's why we can't have eulogies. Mishra Malamish Asur Betanis. It's a day of feasting, and therefore you can't fast. The Yantav Malamish Asur Besias Malacha. The fact that the Megillah calls it a Yantav teaches us that on Purim, you are not allowed to do Malacha. So what's going on? How did Rabbi plant? How is he able to do that? So Gemara gives a number of answers. So Rebbe's one answer, Gemara says, Ela Rebbe, Bar Arbeser Havel, Chinata, Bechamisa, Nata. Some say that the act that Rebbe did was not on his day of Purim. Remember, there are 2 days of Purim, whether you're in a walled city or an unwalled city. And Rebbe was a unwalled city, so he observes Purim on the 14th. And what he was doing, planting, was on the 15th. His Shushan Purim, he was more lenient about Malacha, but he wasn't done on his designated day. The Gemara has a whole arichos. It agrees that everyone says that the whole discussion will only be on your day, right? You're either a walled city. No one says you have to not do malacha on both days. You only have to do your day. And then the Gemara gives a different answer. Ultimately, there's a different answer that's given, and it's really based on another statement. There's another Maaser Rav, and that is with Rav. It's the middle of source 2, the right after the ellipses, the second ellipses, says, Eni v'ha Rav chazel hu gavr d'havu kashadi kisna v'puria. Rav once saw a man who was planting flaxseed on Purim, Velatia, and he cursed them out. Velot samach kisne. And his crop, his grass did not, his flax did not grow appropriately. Rav's curse worked to perfection. So, and there, they say it was his day, so clearly you weren't supposed to do malacha. Ultimately, we have these two, we have a second statement of Maaser Rav, and the Gemara concludes, or it's really not a clean conclusion, but one of the other answers that Gemara gives is in the next ellipses, Rabba, Bered, the Rabba, Amar, Afil, Tema, Biome. You can even say it was his day. Hesped v'tanis kabilu alayu malach lo kabilu alayu. The Gemara says, well, not so fast. Even though we have this drush that says, Purim is called the Yantif, and if it's called the Yantif, therefore you should be an Isra Malacha, you shouldn't do Malacha. The Jewish people didn't really accept it so fast. The rabbis came along and said, we're going to create a rabbinic holiday. We think you should not work. And the Jews said, wait a second. We don't really need the Isra Malacha. We can have our holiday and go to work too. So that's what the Gemara says. And there's a proof text. It just, you know, I'm a little bit tongue-in-cheek right now. One of the Jews just said we don't want it. There's a proof text. Why? This is the bold. To me, karaksiv simcha mishtav yantif. Because as I read to you in Pasuk Yotat, the Megillah calls it Simcha, Mishta, and Yantiv. Ulvasoftiv, lasot otam yimei Mishta, v'simcha. Yil Yantiv loksiv. If you go down source 3, the Gemara says, the Megillah Esther says in Parak Test, towards the end of the Megillah story, talking about the establishment of the holiday, in Pasuk Chafet it says in bold, lasos osim yimei Mishta v'simcha mishlachmano ishareyu. It's missing words. It doesn't say Yantiv in that final discussion of what the nature of the day is. So, back in the Gemara derives from this that even though they tried to create an Isra Malacha, it did not succeed, and there is no Isra Malacha. Just after that, just to finish the Gemara, and then we'll take comments or questions. Just after that, the Gemara then says, Ela Rav my time Elatia. So if you just said that the Jewish people did not accept the Isra Malacha, so then why did Rav curse out the guy for planting flaxseed? Again, Rav, not Rebbe, different story. So the Gemara answers, says, Dvarim mutarim, v'acher nagu ben iser, hava v'asu de Rebbe lo nag. So the Gemara concludes by saying, even though there's no iser malacha on Purim, and technically you can do malacha on Purim, nonetheless, in certain communities, the minhag was accepted later on, that we would take on, in certain locales, would take on iser malacha, and in Rav's Dome, in Rav's area, they did have this prohibition, this custom, not an Isra, but a custom, and that's where Rav was within his right to gently tell the person that his flaxseed should not grow and sprout the way he wanted to sprout. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. The Rif quotes this Gemara in source number 4, and the Rif seems to pass in like the Gemara's conclusion that there is no Isra Malach, like Rif in source 4. The Rif is one of the early halachic codifiers. The Rif would go through all of Shas and basically just tell us the parshat halacha lemaisa. The Rif would not tell us any of the stories or the shakta v'tari, the back and forth, which is kind of irrelevant because it becomes not the way we practice. And the Rif basically just gets the halachic main points. In the Rif in source 4, he says, Tani Rabbi Yosef, Simcha Malamish Asr Behesped, Mish Malamish Asr Betanis, Yom Tov Malamish Asr Besis Malacha, Rabbi Dei De Rav Amar, Safed Betanis, Kiblu Alayu Malacha Lo Kiblu Alayu. So the Rif basically says, concludes, or presents the Gemara that the Isra Malacha was never accepted. That is an interesting Ikadamri. Ikadamri, some say Yom Tov Lo Kiblu Alayu. And maybe Yantif was never accepted, which is something else that's interesting. What does that mean? Maybe the whole Yom Tov wasn't necessarily accepted right away. Again, I don't have a great shot for what that line means, but what I want... What? I'm not sure that's what...
Aren't there like many Purims?
So what I want to say, and we're going to get to this later, is what I want you to think about is what does it mean to not have an Isra Malacha? What does that tell us that Purim is a holiday without an Isra Malacha? And I'll add... And if this Igadamri is true, or whatever, if we should read into it, what does it mean that Purim is not a Yom Tov? What makes Purim unique that it's not a Yom Tov? And maybe not just in a make putting on a lower level, but ultimately I have an approach from Rabbi Mon Sefer that I found that maybe says that Purim might be even be on an elevated level, that even though there's no Isur Milach. Okay, because typically we think, oh, on the pendulum of rankings of special days, you'd have the Chagim, you know, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot are up here, they're biblical. The Rabbanan, you would think already is lower, and then lower because this doesn't even have an Isra Malacha. Again, Chanukah also doesn't have an Isra Malacha, but the Purim is kind of, I'd say, elevated from Chanukah, at least there's a discussion about Isra Malacha. Okay? That's the halachic sugya. The Rambam also, just going to be short, and then we'll talk about how we paskin. The Rambam also just says, Mutar basiyat malacha. He says, explicitly, there's no Isra malacha, afa pikin, So here the Rambam says, afa pikin in rai lasas malacha. The Rambam interests the idea probably from the second story of the way that Rav cursed out the guy, but it's not appropriate to do malacha. Amru Chachamim, and then he goes even a step further. The rabbi said, "Kohos Malacha b'yom Purim in a rosin bracha." If you sit there and try to make some fancy spreadsheet and do some data analysis, your computer's going to crash and the whole thing's going to get erased. That's the Black Sea equivalent to the rabbi. Okay, you can try, but it's not going to be successful. Okay, comments, questions. I saw some hands. Josh.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that's not really directly related to this, but just what occurs to me, is it sounds very similar to the era of Pesach. I think, like, there's a Gemara that sounds very similar, just kind of like, oh, there's no Isser, but I think the end of the Gemara, I don't remember the Gemara exactly, is kind of, it depends on your minhag of the location of whether or not it's, like, Asher Malachan or Pesach. So I just find that interesting.
So we have other gray area times.
Yeah, like, feels very similar to that, at least.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yeah. Josh, bud, did you want to say something, or no?
No.
Okay. Joel, do you have a comment?
I was going to ask about Hanukkah, but is there, you mentioned it, but is there a similar conversation back and forth about Hanukkah being and not being Yom Tov and Malacha?
I would need to look into it. I don't remember, but I'd have to look into it. Hanukkah, because you're lighting candles, so I feel like Hanukkah doesn't have... You're obviously allowed to do Malacha, because you can create ore. You can be create Ish. So, I don't know. It would almost seem like an oxymoron, because one of the Malachot is... Purim, in theory, you could go through, you could walk to shul, you could deliver your shlach lano. Yeah. Like, you don't need to necessarily do one of the 39 malachot on Purim.
I don't think there's more of
that. So I don't think so. Yeah, but it's a good question. Yeah. Comments? Hoshana Rabbah? Hoshana Rabbah is also considered a very, very special day. Chol HaMoed, actually, there might be a parallel, because Chol HaMoed is also, is it Chol, is it Moed? That Chol HaMoed is a paradox. I did actually see someone that suggests, equates this more to Chol HaMoed. It's actually, I didn't say anything about Erev Pesach or anything like that, but I did actually see someone does mention that this might be like Chol HaMoed, that the Isser Malacha is not, there is no Isser Malacha, but it's like the appropriate thing because there is an element of Kedusha. Probably Chol HaMoed is more elevated than, that's biblical. That's a great, great observation. Yeah, Yaakov and Shlomo, yeah.
The question of the Suda.
Yeah.
You have to, a lot of the actions involved in cooking are considered malachas.
For sure, yeah. But in theory, though, one could prepare the Suda ahead of time. Just like Suda Shabbos, that you also have the Suda Shabbos, but you make the food before.
I
have
to get Matash
Lev Yonim. Ooh, Matash Lev Yonim Tzedakah. How do you get Tzedakah? So, thank God for Zelle, QuickPay, I don't know. Set up a timer, I don't know. There's got to be a way. Set it up, you send up daily giving. You're my brother, something. You set it up automatic. I don't know. There's got to be a way to automate it beforehand. But it's
the money transaction stuff is only Derubanan to begin money. With, which potentially that Derubanan came after Megillah enacted.
Maybe. Yeah. Shlomo and then Rabbi.
Yeah. Is there a concept of maybe working half a day, like, you know, until Chatzos or something like that?
No.
This way you're kind of taking on the Purim, but you're not.
So practically, we're going to get to some halakha lemaisa where, for those who are like, shoot, I really got to go to work. I have some hetero for you, but I also want to give some ashkafic idea to better understand the nature of the day when you're making those decisions. And we all know what Rav thought about what you went on your Rav Abe.
I'm just wondering where the Gemara gets the idea that Yom Tov means Isser Malacha. I mean, we say the days that are Asr B'Malacha, that are Yom Tov, the Torah says by them, Lo Sasel Kol Malacha.
Right.
Achashe Yochel HaNefesh. I don't think the Torah uses the word Yom Tov at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we interpret as Yom Tov, so by the Megillah saying Yom Tov, why do they say that must mean Isser Malacha?
Right. Why did Rabbi Yosef? Yeah,
the Gemara obviously said it. The Rif says it.
Yeah.
So they obviously got it from where did they get it?
Okay. So let's go into, I don't know, halacha lemaisa. Let's go into some deeper, more practical. How do we paskin? So the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 6, Purim mutar basiyat malacha, like the Rambam, and the conclusion the way we presented the Gemara that Purim it is mutar to do malacha. If you live in one of the locales where this minhag developed not to do malacha, so you wouldn't do malacha. But then the Rama, who typically represents Ashkenazic Jewry, which would be for most of us, says, Va'inna nagu b'chol makom shalasot. Quotes from the Kolbo, not for Shlomo. Shlomo's good. Shlomo, you're good right now, right? Shlomo, this is technically an area where you could go to work. But then the Rama says, but now in Ashkenaz, the minhag was not to go to work. the osa ain't a roa simin bracha me ota malacha l'olam. Quotes the Rambam that says that if you do it, your computer is going to crash. Ella imhu binyan shel simcha. Unless it's binyan shel simcha. So all of a sudden we're introduced to an idea that, oh, but if you're doing something which is simcha dik, you're in your backyard building a chupa for your kids who are getting married soon, that would be okay because that's a binyan shel simcha. That's not the, you're not like hoeing in the backyard or planting seeds, doing arduous labor. You're doing labor which is what we call binyan shel simcha. You go base chasas the middle of barbuna kishom lachim d'shari. That would be okay. And then the Ramah says, and another exception is mutar lasos kol malachas mitzvah. Anything you do that would be a malacha, that's for a mitzvah, that would be okay as well. Kegon lichto piski halachos, if you want to write out chidushei Torah, mutar lasos afil malachos gemuros tzorach porim. You will not do explicit malachos. I would think driving around to deliver mishlach mano or matamot levyun, using your car. Going to shul to use your car to go to shul. Those are all doing a malacha, letzorech mitzvah. So that would be 100% okay. Okay. So what about practically, you know, these are malachos. These are the lametes malachos, planting, bishul, you know, all the various things that we try to refrain from on Shabbos. So there is a statement of the Taz, and the Taz really is going to be the big heter for those who really need to go to work. So the Taz says, Nira de pragmatia mutter. He says that kind of work, like office labor, like doing what you do, whatever you guys do to make, get paid, pay your bills. So that is considered okay. Why? Because going to work gives you joy. Vidomalo, and then it comes up with some, you know, but that's the main thing. So we've had this idea before that binyan, one of the exceptions to work was if you're doing work which brings you simcha, if you would really enjoy, I don't know, planting, or you're building something which is a mitzvah object, then that's okay. And the Taz takes a step further and says, if your job is geschmack for you, then you could do it. I saw Rav Rimon, who one of the other things we'll see, and then the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. The Mishnah Berurah says in source number 8, Mishnah Berurah Gimel, Simchanes v'chom makom shalasos pragmatia mutter. I forgot to bold this. Pragmatia mutter shesimcha hilo. He says your job may be simcha dik for you. So Rav Rimon, in a contemporary analysis of it, says, well, wait a second. Is it really a simcha for you to go to work? Should we go around the room and talk? Do we want to have that discussion right now? Does anyone here actually like what they do? So that's a question. So Rav Rimon wants to distinguish. It could be the difference between you're a businessman and all the revenue goes to you. And let's say you're going to work that day means you're getting more money. So that's a simcha. Maybe the average day laborer, the average person who's an employee who it wouldn't be a big nafkamina if they were to miss a day. That might be not what the Taz was talking about. That's not a simcha. If you hate your job, it's definitely not your simcha. And there might be some subjectivity here. Do you enjoy your job? And do you want to go to work?
You like getting paid.
Do you like it paid? So the Mishnah Berurah also goes into, maybe this is the Bir Halacha. Sorry, this is the Shaar Tzion. In 10, quotes the Taz. And the Shaar Tzion, he writes, Od kata prima gadim, again, one of the major commentators on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says, the chol davar shiyah bo hefsid shari. What if you need the money? What if you are struggling to pay your bills? Anything that'd be a loss would be mutter. The chol davar simcha mutter b'parm. Because if you need the money and you can't afford to miss that day's work because you need the money, 100% you can go to work because that would be simcha for you. It would be anti-simcha for you not to go to work because you'd be sitting in your house twiddling your thumbs saying, I'm not the simcha. I really need to be at work to be able to collect my paycheck. So I think there is a lot of flexibility when it comes to the question. I think ideally we've seen the Lashon of the Rambam is you're not going to see him in bracha, probably from this story of Rav cursing out the guy. But there is some flexibility if a person needs to go to work. If you're struggling, or if you might potentially lose your job if you don't show up. I saw Rav Rimon say, but he says, what about the discussion? He's not machriya this. He says, what if you just only have a certain amount of days off? And you just really don't want to take off another day when, you know, you don't really have to, because technically, there's no Isur Malacha. He's not machriya that, but I'm putting that out there as these are some of the calculations you might want to be going through in your mind. You know, do I like my job? Can I afford getting by without going to work? It's clear that it'd be better to stay home. It'd be better to not work. but not we don't live in this bubble or this idyllic world. I understand that different people have different calculations they need to do. Yeah, David.
Does nobody talk about like first responders, like doctor or essential workers or anything like that?
That you work on Shabbos.
The Hatayrim are yeah. It's not such a blatant statement. I've spoken to my rabbi about this. It's not clear that everyone can be. That all doctors should be working on Shabbos.
Obviously not.
We really try to avoid. It's really not. It's a misnomer that doctors can just work on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. It's for your patients. If you can't get out of shifts, you should always try to avoid working on Shabbos. It's not like a carte blanche. Everyone just Shabbos is totally irrelevant to doctors. But yes, there are scenarios where you can save a life. Then they're heter. Okay, that was a great question.
The day off calculation is also kind of a simcha where you think it's like simcha in the future. If I lose a day off in the future. Like you can imagine, I like to take that day off.
That's dover, maybe that's the dover hefsid. Like the hefsid is like you're losing your vacation day.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's part of the question as well. By the way, there's a debate. What exactly will happen if you go to work, right? You said it's not a siman bracha. Mishabura says, one opinion is that if you plant, meaning you go to work, your computer is going to blow up. As we said, that's a bit Yosef. It's not that your computer is going to blow up. It's just that you're not going to make extra money. Whatever you think your efforts you're channeling into your job, you think you're being productive. So he's saying, no, you're not going to be productive. Okay? One other important exception is Ayude Nachri is okay if you're an employee and you have employees that work for you and they're non-Jews, they are allowed to do malacha. So if you have a business, you can operate your business. And that actually leads to a interesting statement in the Aruch HaShulchan, and then we'll shift to the Hashkafic discussion of this. The Aruch HaShulchan goes through this whole sugya. Again, in Source 11, he presents it kind of the way he presented it. Kasu hakarbonim, avgad malacha lo kiblu alayu, even though I'm in Sif Bet in the Source 11, even though the Isra malacha was not accepted, achrak niskabo b'minag. So there was a minag not to do work, so I would say that there is a minag. I think many people don't go to work that day, but I think it does depend. He talks about the curse. And then I'm going to skip to the end. In the end, he says in the underline, "Ulitzorach hayom atzmo mutilasos afilu melachas gemuros." So let's say you need to use your car to get to shul or to do mitzvos, that'd be okay. Apish haya efshelasos mikodim. Even if you could have you could have baked the mishloach mano cookies before Purim, you could even bake them on Purim itself. And here's the big line: "Is v'chem pragmatia ein minag l'aser." He quotes the Taz, Ibnei Shlomo Simchol, this famous Taz, or this very important Taz, that if you really enjoy your job, in theory, you could also go to work. But he says, "V'lachei nagu leisha bechanios." And based on this Taz, the minig was Aruch HaShulchan lived where?
Divinsk.
In Divinsk, which is
Poland.
Okay, in the 18th century,
1880.
Right before the same time period as the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim. He says the minig there was the Jewish shopkeepers had their shops were open on Purim. Umikom makom has some orchotav, someone who's like a. He paves the streets. You might some orchotav. You might be yeshiva tachanut bepurim. Should try to. You might be yeshiva tachanut bepurim. What does that lashon mean? Mikol makma has some orchos of you might be yeshiva tachanut bepurim. Or maybe he's saying someone who's like yasher, someone who's like really yashar, should try to minimize it. The yesh yirei Hashem she'ein potkin achanut bepurim. And some are knowing not to open their shops. I guess the Jews were the shopkeepers and the shop owners. So I guess the minhag that he quotes in the end is that those who were really scrupulous were not opening their shops. I bet you some orchotav means those who are like very like midakdek on what they do, they would not open their stores. Okay, so I think we've seen this in summary that there's no Isur Malacha on Purim. There was a minhag not to work. Our locales don't necessarily have a set minhag of whether or not you can say you can't speak in that language. Is the minhag fair law not to go to work? But I think the ha'inda, the common practice, the more prevalent practice is min hastam, is not to go to work. But those who have a reason they need to go to work because either they really need that paycheck or B, their boss is going to shoot, you know, be really upset they don't work. You know, every person in their own job has to figure out what exactly they need to do that day to keep their job. So there are heterim, out there, mostly based on this taz, that maybe it's a simcha or a davar hefsid. And those are kind of the various strategies that people employ for those who need to go. But now I want to take a step back and ask, what is this whole discussion about? What are the, whether we say you shouldn't go to work, Or we say that there's no reason for Isur Melacha. How can we glean some better, deeper understandings of what the nature of Purim is all about? Did anything percolate in anyone's mind during this conversation of what can we ashkafically take away from this whole conversation? Yeah.
I found it very interesting on that idea of like what is like with a holiday, with like a more official holiday, you would say that of course you don't do melacha, or of course you don't do all these things. But here, the idea of being besimcha is a little bit more vague, and that there's just the fact that there's exceptions that if you enjoy your job, that you could therefore go to work, shows kind of a level of like what simcha. It's not specifically simcha about Purim. It's maybe a broader sense, I don't know.
Beautiful, beautiful, yeah, absolutely, yeah. The Nefesh HaRav, Salvatrix, says something similar to that idea. Yeah, anyone else want to share before we see? Yeah?
There's your flexibility.
There is flexibility. The rabbis left it open to be understanding, sensitive. Okay, right, some holidays, there's really not much you can do. You know, that Mikrei Kodesh, Shabbos Yom Tov, there's really not much to talk about. But there's flexibility, okay. That might be relevant to what we're seeing in Rav Kook. About what's unique about this day that's really not like too many other days in the calendar. Maybe like a Chol HaMoed, like you alluded to. Okay, so let's see two different approaches in Hashkafa that I thought that were both beautiful ideas, and they're really coming at this from two different angles. So one I found, and I credit everything to Rav Rimon. Rav Rimon is safer. Rav Rimon is just amazing. His just knowledge of Halacha and bringing in a lot of beautiful ideas from Darshan and Rav Kook, and he's just so knowledgeable. It's amazing. Rav Rimon is the Rav of Gush Etzion. I think he's like the Rav Ashkuna of Gush Etzion. He also was a Rav in the Gush Yeshiva for many years. He also just really, he's a tzaddik. After Gush Katif was given back 20 years ago, he created something called Jab Katif, which is basically, as a shul rabbi, he created a whole program to help those who had lost their jobs, who were working in the greenhouses in the greenhouses near Gaza, that they were, the Israeli government basically moved them away and gave that land back. He helped those people find jobs. He was like really at the forefront of amazing Gemilat Chasadim as a Rav to help all these hundreds of people who were farmers and gave up their land to be able to land on their feet. So just an amazing person. Everything about this guy is like, you're like, I just want to like basically hold on to his ankle. You know, like he's just done so many amazing things. And he's a poet also. He writes some poetry. Yeah. Okay. So a lot of the stuff I found in his Sefer, give him credit. He quotes from Rav Soloveitchik. So this is Rav Schechter's discussions about the Rav's Nihugim. And in Nefesh HaRav writes, in Dalid, in the underline, says, Rabbeinu Haya Omer, the Rav used to say, She Isra Malacha Purim Einenu Isra Rifnei Atzmo. The whole idea of an Isra Malacha is not that there's never a discussion of, is there an Isra Malacha, like is Purim really like a Mikrei Kodesh? Is it really like a Yom Tov? Ela B'Torah's Bitl Mitzvah Simcha. The Rav felt that the whole nature, what's at the heart of the discussion, it never was that, is Purim really on the level of Mikrei Kodesh? Is it on the level of a Pesach or a Sukkot? No. That never was a discussion. But the nature of the discussion of the Isur Melacha is, do we want you to be planting seeds and flax in your backyard? Because if you're involved in planting in your garden, what are you not going to be involved in? What Joel was just talking about. It's a bitul of the mitzvah simcha. We want you to have your focus, kol kula be on the nature of the day, and the nature of the day is we want of happiness, which I, by the way, is another reason why I thought talk about already now. Not just you need to plan ahead if you're going to work that day, but also Mishenichas other Marv Simcha. We're now at the time we want to be thinking about Simcha, what makes us happy, and how do we focus on Simcha. So the Rav says this, doing Malacha, going to work, is going to be a bit of your Simcha, so that's a problem. And here, listen, this is where he makes the comment. He says, "Afilu dasa sover the shemalachas chol shamoy deraita." Even those who say that the isra malacha and chol moy is deraisa, a nidavitoras isra malacha. It's not the same level as chag. Albatoras bitzul asay the simcha. Rather, because on the intermediary days of Sukkot and Pesach, there's still an Indian of simcha, it's still a chag. So we don't want to go into work because, ideally, again, same types of exclusions may apply. But again, it'd be a bitzul asay of the simcha. And then he gives another nafkamina. So first he compares it to Chol HaMoed, and then he says, nafkamina is a Leil Purim. there might be a nachmina on Leil Purim. If after Megillah you want to go home and do a little, answer some emails or do some stuff you need to do for work, that would be okay. The me'achar de mitzvah simcha inyanu hegas belayla. Apparently the mitzvah of simcha is not knowing at night. The main mitzvah of simcha is a daytime mitzvah. Who I did not mean like Isra Malacha. He says there's no Isra Malacha at the nighttime of Purim. The Isra Malacha only comes in during the day. So we've just learned a whole new thing. Number one, we learned the comparison to the Isra Malacha is very, it was a great comment before about Chol HaMoed, very similar parallels to Chol HaMoed. And we also just learned our whole discussion is only the daytime. At nighttime, if you have things you need to do for your job, that would be.
Because it says Yemei, Mishteh Simcha Yemei.
Okay, so focus is on the daytime. Yes, Josh.
It also sounds similar to what he was saying before, which is like it says the word Yontif, it doesn't say like, oh, Asher Melecha, like it says like in like the Torah or these other things. Maybe it's like that different wording is kind of similar here. It's like this good day, the Simcha day, but not a Asher Melecha day.
Right, excellent. Okay, so I think that idea that Rav is basically saying, and this fits in very nice with the Taz. Why do the Taz say that one could go to work if they like what they do? Because if the whole goal, the whole point of Purim is to be besimcha, and you love what you do, you can't wait to get to work, Shlomo. You don't want to be there so badly. Okay, so then go to work. If that's what makes you happy, good luck with that, buddy. But most people, I don't think, love their jobs that much, and they'd be much happier to stay home and give shlach mano and matan avyorim and do all the mitzvot hayom. So I think you have to know what your relationship with work is, which is maybe a longer conversation for each of us to have. Okay? But at least now we have at least a better idea that there's this notion of our focus on Purim should be trying to be happy and doing things that are going to make us happy and trying to avoid those things which do not make us happy. Okay? That's all the Nefesh HaRav. There's another idea. This idea is a totally different idea. This idea is in Rav Kook's Torah. But Rav Kook's Torah is a little bit, it's a little cryptic. So we can try reading Rav Kook, but I actually like the formulation of Rav Rimon better. I just can't remember what page Rav Rimon had it on his. Let me see if I can find it in my notes, because I just added it right before to remind myself. I thought this might happen. Rav Rimon's formulation is a little clearer, but it comes in this handout, which is Olat Riyah. Olat Riyah is Rav Kook's commentary on the Sidur and other comments like Torah thoughts on the calendar and holidays. So it's like a perush on the Siddur. So here we have on your sheet, I gave you the original Rav Kook idea, but I think it's actually clear if I read it from Rav Rimon Sefer, if you'll allow me to do that. He gets this idea from Rav Kook. And this is how Rav Rimon presents this. I'm reading again, not word for word with what you have in your sheet, because I actually find it clear. He says, Rav Kook Kotev in Olat Riyah, the deeper meaning behind all this, a new explanation. One explanation is Nefesh HaRav, the idea we want you to be besimcha. A different explanation of why there's no Isra Melacha on Purim. It's not because we should look at Purim as a lower level holiday, rabbinic holiday, less than Chagim, such as Pesach or Sukkot. Rav Kook said, no, you know why Purim doesn't have an Isra Melacha? Because Purim doesn't need to have an Isra Melacha. What does he mean? Here he says it very clear. What? Here he'll make it more clear. Isurei HaMelacha b'yom tov no'ad la'afsher lana lehitnatek me'olam hachol kedei lehitkadesh. Why is there an Isra Melacha on Shabbos and Yom Tov? On Shabbos and Yom Tov there's an Isra Melacha because we want you to remove yourself from the physical world. Unplug from the physical world in order to sanctify yourself. Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to decharge, whatever the word is, in order so that you can tap into Kedusha. Bepurim, shebo hagula higia bederach tva'it. But on Purim, that the whole story happens in a natural way. Nothing about the story says Hashem's name is not in the Megillah. Nothing about the story, there were no makot, or splitting of the sea. There are no nes niglet. There are no overt miracles in the Megillah. Everything is happening natural. Anu mavinim she'anu misugalim gam lekadesh et haguf et hachomer. It teaches that the ability is there to even sanctify the physical world and elevate that which we can is tangible, we can touch. V'meile ein kol tzorach l'itna take me ol machomer yimelachot yitzira purim. And therefore, if Purim is all about realizing we can elevate the physical and we don't have to disconnect in order to connect to God, so then we don't have to have an Isra Melacha. And therefore, there is no reason to have an Isra Malacha. Such a beautiful idea that Rav Kook says. Rav Kook's secondary idea is saying, why is there no Isra Malacha on Purim? You have to understand what is the nature of Purim and how is Purim different from all the other holidays. All the other holidays, we have to disconnect to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to tap into Kedusha. But Purim, the very essence of the day is learning to be attached still to physicality, learning to be attached in your life and with the things you have you, and to still find Kedusha, and to still feel elevated, and to feel spiritually uplifted. And that's why the nature of Purim is all about the goof, lots of physical things. We're not sitting and fasting on Purim. We're eating, we're fresing, we're drinking wine. One day a year, we're, you know, you want to enjoy the best of the physical world. You want to drink? Sure. Because the whole nature of Purim is that you don't have to minutak. You don't have to elevate. Purim is Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's even higher. Yom Kippur is Kim Purim. Purim is higher than Yom Kippur. How is Purim higher than Yom Kippur? Because in Yom Kippur, we have to detach from the world. We're mamash pretending like we are angels. But that's not realistic. That's for one day a year. We can be angels. On Purim, which is higher, Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, which means that Purim is higher in spirituality than Yom Kippur. How so? Because we're challenging ourselves to be able to find spirituality, to feel elevated, feel Kedusha, even in the physical world. And based on that idea, Rav Kook says, if you need to go to your job, and you need to do some things, respond to some emails, or do some things that are seemingly very menial, it would even be allowed because we're pushing you. We're saying on a day like today, it's so holy that you can even find Kedusha in what you're doing. I just throw this out. The Kedusha of being able to have Parnassa. The Kedusha of being able to pay for your yeshiva tuition for your kids. The Kedusha to use your money to pay your shul membership and sponsor something nice for the community. The Kedusha to give tzedakah, right? It's that even the physical world has the ability to uplift it. I can now take my money that I made and I can do a chesed, I can do a mitzvah, I can help someone who needs it. Beautiful, amazing idea. So it's a very different idea that Rav Kook is presenting than Rav Soloveitchik. Maybe it reflects, is it halachic mind or spiritual soul? They come at it a little bit differently. But either way, we have two fundamentally nice takeaways we can take away in our holiday. One is the Rav Soloveitchik, the idea that there's no, we don't have a bit of simcha. The main thing is simcha. So whatever you can do, focus on trying to do the simcha de kampurim. And that should be kind of the modus operandi of whatever you're going to do on that day, simcha. And the second approach of Rav Kook is that there's a need to be an Isra Malacha because maybe Purim is on a higher level even than Shabbos and Yom Tov, where we separate that Purim, we don't even need to separate. So we should all be Zocha. However we spend our Purim, should be both B'Simcha and B'Kedusha. It should be both with joy and with holiness and feel uplifted. Before we take your comments and questions, I want to again thank our sponsors, Josh and Rifki, and we hope that the Torah tonight was an Aliyah L'Neshama. I didn't know Rifki's... I knew Rifki's father. Yeah. Of course I knew Rifki's father. So I can say, and now, I don't know if maybe they'll listen this year, but Rifki's father and Rifki's mother, who is, Libadal L'chaim Tovim, are people who live lives of Kedusha. They were Jews who really, everything they did was at their home. Everything they lived was to be able to infuse this world with Kedusha and elevate. And the Bishchus, the people that, the person who your father-in-law was, Bishchus that and who your mother-in-law continues to be, said that they should your mother-in-law should continue to have nachas from her kids and her grandkids and extended family, and also the neshama shavu and Bishchus everything that we did tonight and everything that you guys do for our community. So yeah, shakach. Okay, Rabbi Abe, question?
Yeah, it's the same idea. Lahavdil by Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to do malacha that's not Masiach Das from the day.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Excellent.
And they're opposites. There you're focusing on the Avelos, here you're focusing on the symbol.
So Baruch Shekivantem, Rav Rimon makes the exact Hara. He in the footnotes, he makes it. I thought it was the Rav. I think it's Rav Rimon, because the Rav didn't say it, right? So Rav Rimon makes that connection. It's literally the reflexive of Tisha B'Av. We really want you to be hyper-focused. That's a beautiful.
Yeah, that's why these two will stay as Yomim Tovim in the future.
Yeah, say more. Why?
Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we have.
We have Tisha B'Av?
Yeah. Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov.
Purim, we'll have.
No.
We'll turn into a Yom Tov.
To a Yom Tov. And Purim.
Purim
will turn into a Yom Tov because for the same reason. And Purim, obviously. Tisha B'Av, that it was the quintessential bad day becomes the most uplifting spiritual day because it brings the Geula. And Purim, because the whole physical world is really a spiritual uplift.
Beautiful. Yashar Koach, everyone.